One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to Redburn News. I'm Ross Chanley. This is Errol Smith joining me today to bring you your latest Liverpool news, rumours, and a little bit of bullshit as well. Not sponsored this week, and there's not a lot going on, I'm going to be honest. Clutch at straws this morning for some stories, more via Timo Werner talk, which I can't be bothered with. I'm sure you can't, but we're going to get Errol to talk about it for 5 to 10 minutes instead and get his thoughts on it. But straight into it, Takumi Minamino explains how ex-Man United star Shinji Kagawa convinced him to join Liverpool. Obviously came in from Salzburg in January. He said, I spoke to Mayor Yoshida at Southampton, but I didn't ask him about Liverpool. I just told him I'd come to the Premier League, but I never told him it would be Liverpool. He said, I also spoke to Shinji Kagawa as he played for Jurgen Klopp at Dortmund too. Klopp talked to me about Shinji and Shinji talked about Klopp, that I could get a sense of his really good relationship. Shinji said that Klopp was one of the best coaches in the world, and now that I'm working here with him, I've also realised he's one of the best coaches around. Really good story, actually, Errol. I completely forgot that Kagawa was at Dortmund.
Yeah.
I just associated with Manchester United, but the kind of says in that story as well that they just put that to one side. I think as fans sometimes we don't do and kind of go, oh, I'm not playing for him.
But they've got that professional element, haven't they? And I think they look at the bigger picture of things and they look at how short a footballer's career is. And when an opportunity to play for one of the best managers in the world comes around, you are going to go to people that you can trust in terms of their experience. And to obviously that them being from the same side of the world and being from that continent, they probably do have that relationship where you trust someone if they said, yeah, follow that path, it'll be good for you, even if it's not the same path that I've taken myself.
And it's another confidence to Jurgen Klopp as well. Like, it's all right, us as Liverpool fans lauding him, saying how good he is, but someone who's to work with him years and years ago and he had success at Dortmund to go, actually, no, he's boss mate, and that's it.
And then he went back to Dortmund as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
So I think he was always going to give an honest account of his experience with Klopp, and he's said a lot of high praise of him. So I think it's always good when players do that for us.
Have you been surprised at the lack of involvement with Minamino so far this season? He's played a couple of League Cup appearances, hasn't he, with kids, which are kind of... fringe players, which you kind of feel sorry for him, but he's not had a shot with the first team, has he?
If you was to ask me this, at the start of Klopp's tenure when he signs his first player, then the answer probably would, yeah, we've just bought this guy. All the fans want to see him in the big games, want to see him performing. Now I've seen Klopp for the last 4.5 years, and he's tweaked and done similar, like if what happens is what I imagine is likely to happen, he's done similar things with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah.
He's done similar things with
Robbo.
Yeah. Naby Keita, Fabinho, and look at where they are now as a result of him being patient and not overexposing them when he's not ready to play in the system. So I've got no issue with that. Obviously, I still think there's some big games that he could be looking to play in between now and the end of the season. The Chelsea one springs to mind in the next week or so. And hopefully once we've got the league wrapped up, you can give him those Prem games as the experience without the pressure on it. But I think Klopp, it's one of them things that Klopp does really well. It's how he manages his players and their expectations. And that's probably been conversations that he's had when he's came in January. You're coming in at this point in time now to get bedded in with us, and you will be the ready, finished article to hit the ground running come, the new season next year. But if we can squeeze a couple bits out of you over the next couple of months, we'll take it as a bonus.
It's learning the system, isn't it? And it's not like Liverpool losing games and we're desperate to get him on the pitch.
Exactly.
It's not a necessity, it's a luxury at this point, isn't it? Anyway, moving on, Timo Werner chat again, probably the third time this week and a couple last week as well, but his future is in manager Jurgen Klopp's hands. A nice little link there, considering Kagawa really liked him. This is according to Kaveh Sekhal. Okay. Always struggle with that one.
Shackle.
The Insider, so Sky Sports news reporter, has basically said Werner will become a Liverpool player this summer if Klopp decides to activate his £50 million release clause and if he convinces Timo Werner he will play regularly next season. He's almost certain to leave Leipzig in the summer, because of his release clause, and he favours a move to Liverpool as long as he gets to play. Now, I've seen some of the reaction to this on Twitter earlier today, and a lot of his Timo Werner needs to convince Jurgen Klopp that he's good enough to get in there.
But I think he said it as well, he's self-confessed, he's probably not at the level of the front three that we've got at the moment.
Post-Spurs game last week, he said that. Yeah,
he's not at that level of those players. So, you know, I think that's a humble from a very clearly talented individual. But he humbles himself to know that even if I was to join this squad in the current mould, I would have to work and find another level before I could compete for this, for me place in the starting 11. I think we as football fans, we always if it was running my own club or whatever, I'd sign a new striker every summer just so I could see someone else doing something. Do you know what I mean? I think we just constantly convey.
It's not FIFA, Errol.
That's what as fans we need to like take that step back and realise it's not FIFA. So the thing of having a Timo Werner, the front three, because you'd say, right, with his age and obviously the ceiling that you'd imagine him to have, you're probably going to be looking to move out one of those front three as well in the next 12 months if Timo Werner comes in the summer. So be careful what we wish for in that respect. Jumping for the next best thing while we have got the best thing might not be ideal for us. But again, you'd be gutted if he went off to Chelsea in the summer, or you'd be gutted if he went off to Man U. So it's a catch 22, man.
It's hard as well because of his stats, which have been over a couple of times from last season and this season. He's producing assists and goals at a phenomenal rate. It's missing out on him going to someone else, but in a year's time, that player for that price might not be around.
Klopp and the guys behind the scenes, Michael Edwards, and that they're going to have, they're torn between a rock and a hard place. I think it'll come down to conversations with maybe some of the front three after what we achieved this year, potentially, and that might be one of the decisive factors. I don't know if there's been pre-agreements with any of them to say if X, Y, and Z has achieved, we'd happily let you go on to pastures new for X, Y, or Z fee. But maybe that's something we're never going to be privy to, but hopefully they've probably got a plan for someone like him and how they get him in and give him what he wants in terms of that regular player next season. How can they entice him with, this is how many games you'll get and we can guarantee you this, because that is going to happen.
Yeah, they also play a hell of a lot of football, our front three, and think, touch wood, we've been really lucky with the injury so far this season. Then there's the AFCON next season as well, losing Mane and Salah potentially for a long period of time. So there's lots of game time for Werner, in my opinion. You can have all four of them. Moving on, Liverpool have offered Timo Werner a contract until 2025 with wages of €8 million plus bonuses a year. Talks ongoing to finalise a deal. Tom pointed me in the direction of this. Tom, who's this person?
Go on.
Tom doesn't know who this person is. It's someone on Twitter.
He works for Transfermarkt.
Yeah, so he does, yeah. Apparently, yeah. According to him, he's a sports journalist, expert in Transfermarkt.
Take it with a pinch of salt.
There you go. We'll wait to see what happens there. But it's gathering pace, this story, isn't it? And I think there's the Sancho, Mbappe, Werner stuff, and I've said this to death.
The marquees we've been talking about though for the last couple of times we've been on the show, and that everyone's been saying, right, are we going to get a marquee?
Yeah.
If you was to say now in Europe, who are the marquee signings or the names for marquee? Mbappe, Sancho and Werner are probably the top. I mean, Kai Havertz as well as flirted in there, but maybe them four are the marquee signings that obviously the big clubs would want to go for this summer. I think with the one good thing, regardless of maybe what comes of it, or the good thing in this particular time at the minute, is the fact that the player himself has expressed the fact that, Liverpool are probably the best club in the world. And players don't normally do that if they're not interested.
Got to come and get me, please, isn't it? I've never seen a player do that. Trent Alexander-Arnold, explains summer target and sounds Liverpool warning. He equaled his own record at the weekend, getting 12 Premier League assists. He's going to go better than that, but he's been talking about those things. He said, I'm happy to help the team as much as possible. That was my aim this season, was to get over 10 again. And as the season went on, it's been about trying to push the limits and break as many records as I can, to push myself as far as I can, to try and help the team as much as possible, get assists, goals and contributions. Errol, he's just phenomenal, isn't he?
He is a phenom. He's like, I've never seen a fullback be able to produce so much going forward since I've really entertained and watched football in my lifetime. And the fact that this guy's even younger than me, do you know what I mean? Doing it at the like age of 20, 19, 21, been to two Champions League finals. And, you know, he's got one winner's medal around his neck there as well still. And, you know, he's on the cusp of probably being a Premier League winner as well. It's just, it's mental how much he's managed to do in such a short space of time. You just think, where is his ceiling in terms of world football? But I think, you know, I watched the Monday Night Football as well and the interview that he done with them, and, you know, you can see that the Nevilles and the Carrickers trying to, you're going to move into centre mid, or trying to, like, etch him into, and all, he just goes straight back to, my focus is this, my focus is the fact that I want to help the team, my focus is on I want to be as good as I can possibly be, bringing the same A game every single day into training, and obviously there are records there that I do hope to match him better, but I'm setting them for myself. I'm only up against myself, my competition is me. But then you do have the in-house competition of Robbo on the other wing, which really just fuels them even more. Yeah. And I just think it complements them so well that they've got that. And I, you know, Finn being a local Scouse lad as well, like he really is. It's coming a good time after Liverpool fans love Steven Gerrard, and having someone Liverpool local being the heartbeat of that Liverpool squad. We didn't know when we was probably going to get that again. And some people might not have seen that coming for the next 10 to 15 years. People close to the club knew how much of a talent he was. And the fact that now he is, he's going to be in that Liverpool side for the next 10 years without a problem. Touch wood, no injuries and stuff like that keep him out for too long. He is going to be an unbelievable player, and he's really setting some high heights. I think we looked at the companies with it in terms of assists over the last 2 years. He's head and shoulders above pretty much everyone.
He's on 24, Robbo, De Bruyne 18, Ryan Fraser on 17. Just on that, do you think he's made the most of the success of Mohamed Salah? Because when I saw 12 assists for last season in the league and 12 already this season, why haven't teams caught on to the fact, like, he's a threat, shall we stop him? Yeah. But most of Salah's success means that Mo Salah's got 2-3 players marking at one time, which then leaves Trent free and exposed all the time. I was watching the West Ham games, like, he's a threat, we'll just take him up, but you can't because Salah's so good as well.
I think that does play a part in it, and I think the way that our fullbacks play, because they play so high up the field as well, they're almost like backup wingers or kind of like right mids or whatever it is. Yeah. We're really high up in terms of the opposition side of the pitch. I think that there are only, you can only mark so many men, and you can only double up on so many before you do end up leaving spaces for the individuals like Robbo. And I think it's just always been a good outlet for us. And I think as well, teams over the last 2 years, I think, or just like professionals, they get into a mindset of, we know, it's very easy to identify Liverpool's threats in terms of Mo Salah went on his first season and scored as many goals as he did. You know Mane's really quality, and you know Firmino's good, and you know they've got, you know, a good base now, and then you've got good defenders. So it's easy to identify them. And when you can identify those, they're the areas that you spend your weeks training to prepare yourself against. How do you have a plan for you?
It's pick your poison, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like, how do you have a plan for the fullbacks then? Because you can't account for everything. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And that's the way. And I know one of the next stories now is pretty much picking up on that, which we'll have a look into. But effectively, that is where we're at now. We've got so many tools to hurt teams, and I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. And I hope it doesn't.
Oh. Made me so happy, Harold. Thank you very much. Liverpool Academy is set to visit South Africa for the first time. Liverpool said we'll send two teams to South Africa for the first time to take part in a 2020 Lucky Star Cup later this year. The Cape Town-based tournament featured 2,000 grassroots footballers, 130 teams and 45 clubs, and was attended by more than 20,000 spectators in 2019. We had a little bit of chat about this upstairs, Harold, didn't we?
Yeah. And just to jump in there, do you know what I actually genuinely like about this? Because I know FIFA sometimes get a lot of stick across the board when you're talking like high-level football and like some of the scandals that have happened and stuff like that. But in terms of, you know, this has been founded since 2010 when the World Cup wasn't in South Africa. And I think the fact that they've kept the project going and or started the project off the back of it and obviously kind of focused on the grassroots element, I think that is good. It's kind of given back to a culture and given back to a community that otherwise wouldn't have had access to the likes of the teams listed below, the Ajaxes, the Cape Towns, the obviously the Liverpools, the Orlando Pirates that are going to go over there. So, you know, first and foremost, I think FIFA does probably deserve a bit of credit there because they are shining a light. But the rest of the story is all great stuff as well.
Yeah, it's so under 12s, under 14 teams. But I said we were talking upstairs before. It's the, you know, the exposure, the fact that these young lads are going to get the experience to go out and do these tours at such a young age prepares him for later on. Like, it ticks all the boxes, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the players, the coaching staff, everyone will get so much out of this. And I think as well, and again, to be, football is about memories, regardless of what age you play. Football is about creating your own memories. And I think when you're under 12s and under 14s, there's never going to be a guarantee that you're going to play one game in a Premier League squad, let alone a Liverpool squad.
But you can say, I went to South Africa and went to North Africa.
Exactly. Yeah. And no one can ever take that away from you, and that's part of your own personal journey. So it'd be a big moment in their young lives and a massive moment to be proud of for them. So, you know, don't take anything away from that. I think, you know, the club are doing the right thing by getting the players out there to give them that exposure. But I think as them, in terms of their own personal journeys, that'll put them in so much good stead for the future, and everything that else will come with them, the challenges that they'll have to face if they do want to make it into the first team anyway.
Final story before we get some of your comments. Carlton Cole says, lucky Liverpool a fluke title due to poor league. I just cannot but rage at this. A couple of things he said, you've got to pay them respect, but other teams are lacking behind. You can see it, Manchester City have performed at their peak. They've had a boost. Can they come away thinking that the other guys were underpowered? But basically goes on to say that, you know, likes of Arsenal, Chelsea, Man United are all in transition. You can see you're getting really annoyed already.
Yeah.
And then he said, are we talking about the West Ham game? So Liverpool got lucky. West Ham should have won that game. He just goes to joke on about it later on.
They had four shots the whole game. I'm talking also, I get what he's saying, and fair enough, you want a bit of clout and you want to, you know, be a little bit controversial because everyone's singing Liverpool's praises. But why be so salty, Carlton Cole? Like, why be salty about it? The reality of it is, and the statistics there that'll back it up, the league itself hasn't genuinely been that poor. The top four, apart from us, has been a lot poorer this season. Fair enough. We can't account for that. That's not on us, do you know what I mean? We can only focus, and every player says it, we can only focus on doing what we're going to do. All the other teams underneath that top four bubble, they've been so good this season in terms of how consistent they've been. The likes of Sheffield being as high up in the league as they are. I think people are just, they've just got this conception that the super clubs in England need to all be within 3 or 4 or 5 points of each other throughout the whole season for it ever to have been classed as quality. This has been probably one of the, I know last season was a great season to watch because of the title race and the fact that we went on both teams, City and Liverpool, went on such a great run. But ultimately, I think this season's league has been so even. Anyone can land a blow on anyone. Yeah. And I think that's better for football, but that's just me as a, you know, trying to be a bit neutral. But from a Liverpool perspective, where we are head and shoulders above the rest, everyone else can land a punch on each other, and I think that's boss.
Do you feel better for getting off your chest? That's a fucking cross draw that you wrapped that. It's therapy.
It was a leading question.
Great, Tom, let's have some questions. That's class, though. I love that.
Some good comments today. Thank you, everyone who has commented. Stephen Somerville says, if Minamino scores against Chelsea, give him more opportunities.
Yeah, I think it's difficult. I think, like you said, Errol, isn't it? If you're winning, then sound. Those players need a rest. I think rotation kind of comes into it, and we want to see more of him. But I think he'll have tailored games that he's going to go and play.
Yeah, absolutely. At this moment.
Moving on to Werner, there's quite a few, obviously. Abina says, sign Werner already, can't take the suspense. And then Kay Brennan says, I'll be gutted after all this if we don't get Werner.
Do you think, I'd be gutted, but it's like, where does he go? If we miss out on him and Man U say, right, we need a striker and they get him, then yeah, I am gutted because I feel like we've probably missed the boat on someone who's going to hit that next level. But at the same time, we've got to be careful what we wish for as Liverpool fans. We've got Bobby, we've got Mane, and we've got Salah up our front three at the minute. I like what you were saying, though. We could squeeze all four in with the amount of games that we're going to have next year and the commitments. If we can convince him that he's going to get enough game time and the games are going to be of the level of importance that he's after, I don't see why we have to shift out anybody to keep him in. I'd just pay him the money, get him in alongside what we've already got. That'd
Did
be my
even shift formation. If you wanted to go 4-2-3-1, put him in the 10 behind and Bobby. Yeah. File 4 in the same game. Oh, one more
and
time.
And Fabinho.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to read one out. You don't have to comment on it, but I thought it was spot on. Okay. Joey Muddy says, the Werner deal is a little like the Shaq deal. It's a no-brainer. Worst comes to worst, we spend 50 mil on him and it doesn't work. Then we sell him for at least what we paid, if not more. He's only 23. But then Den, with a really interesting question, actually. What happens to Rhian Brewster if we buy Timo Werner? Will we eventually have to sell him?
I think he goes back out on loan again and kind of does what Harry Wilson's done back a couple of seasons, just go and get some experience. I don't think he necessarily has to leave. I don't think he's lived up to the hype. I think people expecting more of him because he was fast-tracked, wasn't he, when we didn't have a striker. Sound fair enough. And also on the Werner stuff, you're going to sell Harry Wilson, for example, potentially Divock Origi, potentially Shaqiri.
There's your 50 mil there. There's
at
your
least.
Pace.
And more, yeah. We've already got money in the bank, it sounds. We'll get Sancho and Werner, won't we?
Yeah,
we just because we can't fit Werner in, and we just added someone else in there instead because we can. And it means absolutely nothing. Thank you very much for listening and watching. We'll be back tomorrow with hopefully some more Timo Werner news. Hopefully, we'll sign tomorrow because I can't talk about him anymore. See you soon. Ta-ra.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.